Hello and welcome to Fine Print, the double scrutiny of the story and its coverage. With me, I'm your Alpha. But first, as always, we start with a quick check of the big print. The big print goes. CIA trapped by torture scandal. CIA chief faces more questions on destruction of videotapes. Justice Department moves to thwart Congress's CIA inquiries. U.S. government seeks hold on probe into torture tapes. Is waterboarding torture? Key question. Fuhrer over CIA tapes. Hayden knew of interrogation videotapes. Mukasey rejects call for details on CIA tapes probe. Attorney General rejects demand for information. Congress knew little of tapes, CIA chief says. And the torture's blame game. Let's track the fine print. We're joined all the way live from London by Masoud Shajar, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission. From Washington by Masoud Haidar, UN bureau chief for Pakistan, oldest and most widely read English language newspaper, The Dawn. From Washington by Samir Dasani, freelance writer and director of 50 Years is Enough organization. Let's go straight to our first pick tonight from Reuters, an article titled Mukasey Rejects Congressional Request on CIA Probe, which goes, U.S. Attorney General Michael Mukasey on Friday rejected a congressional request for information about a Justice Department probe into the CIA's destruction of videotapes of harsh interrogations of suspected terrorists. And further down, Reuters has this to say, the Democratic-led Congress has begun its investigations of last week's disclosure that the CIA destroyed some tapes in 2005, with critics charging a possible cover-up of illegal torture. Let's go straight to Masoud Shajar, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, joining us from London. Masoud, what do we have on this? What's the latest to give us the inside story?
Well, it's really astonishing that, you know, here there is a claim that they destroyed these tapes because there was no longer any need or intelligent need. And at the same time, both the United States and indeed the British government and European government saying that they will keep records of every communication between every mobile phone or indeed any phone of all citizens of Europe and United States for 10 years because it will they need it because of the fact of the intelligence. So there is a hypocrisy and double standard, really. And the reality is that this is a cover-up, whichever way one looks at it. But what is really is worrying is the fact that really up to now, no one has ever been sort of charged for all what has happened in Guantanamo, in Abu Ghraib. And indeed, when you know we have had senior officers, senior officials, both in the military, CIA, and the government, including Rumsfeld himself, in 2006 said waterboarding is lawful and it could be implemented. But not a single one of these people have been ever brought to justice or indeed even charged. Not a single senior official has ever been charged for all that we have seen, as I said, from Abu Ghraib to Guantanamo and indeed beyond.
Let's get an article from Time magazine this time around. Titled Probing the CIA Tapes Carefully. Here's a picture. We have Michael Hayden Director of CIA there, Central Intelligence Agency Director General Michael Hayden. Senator, here's out of a doorway following a closed-door briefing before the Senate Intelligence Committee on destroyed CIA interrogation tapes Tuesday, December 11th, 2007. Basically, this is the date of this picture. And right down here, the article says, taking a public stand against torture confers little political advantage for members of Congress, and it carries the risk of being branded as soft on terrorism. Masood Haidar, UN Bureau Chief for Pakistan's oldest, most widely read English language newspaper, The Dawn. This is a very perplexing matter. Stand against torture, soft on terrorism inside U.S. Congress. Your take.
Well, and this, as I mean, as Masood from in London said, rightly so, this smacks of cover-up, and a cover-up where I see now it's leading the way the Watergate hearing went. And Michael Mukasey, I mean, has denied the request by two senior U.S. lawmakers, namely Patrick Leahy and our inspector. And they are, and he's pleading that, saying also that he will not allow the political, what do you call, underpinnings to dictate anything. But he, whatever he is doing, it is political. It is the Bush administration which is not allowing the investigation to proceed forward. As a matter of fact, I see that Michael Hayden, the director of CIA, is more willing than the people at the Justice Department. That's very surprising. But then again, why should it be? It has happened before, and until now, Congress acts and issues subpoenas. I don't know where it's going to go. But at this point in time, it seems that it is cover-up. There is a front-page story, as you know, in the Washington Post also, which is also saying the same things.
Now, Masood Shajar, all about secrecy, leaks, and revelations. All we've had about torture so far is all about leaks and revelations. Let's go to New York Times. Article titled, The CIA Chief Cites Agency Lapse on Tapes. And further down, the article has this to say. It says, government officials said Wednesday's session was far more contentious than General Hayden's classified briefing to the Senate Intelligence Committee a day earlier. They said lawmakers had grilled the CIA director about the accuracy of the statement he sent to agency employees after learning that New York Times was preparing to publish an article about the tape. So it was all New York Times saying, I'm going public with this, and then Michael Hayden, director of CIA, deciding, well, let's talk about it. Let me beat you guys to a punch and have this out first, so when it hits the fan, well, we'll clear it again. We've talked about it. So what is the true scope and magnitude of what's going on in terms of torture, what they call extraordinary rendition? Because all we have is based on leaks and revelations, if you will.
Well, I mean,
basically,
the,
yes,
the
that's
fact
what
of the
it
matter is,
for now.
We need to...
Oh, all right, go ahead, Masood.
Sorry, which Masood?
Masood Shajar, right.
Right. If you are really talking about what is really, do we have enough evidence to say torture is taking place, this is really just one link of the chain. The reality is, as I said, Rumsfeld has admitted there is nothing wrong with waterboarding. You know, in recent months, we have had those who are being appointed as Attorney General refusing to say that waterboarding is torture or not. And then we have amnesia in the government, and we have had the cases of ex-CIA agent saying that he has used waterboarding, and indeed waterboarding has saved lives. So justifying, there has been ample information that waterboarding is being used, and indeed other forms of torture like sleep deprivation, extreme cold environment, and these sort of techniques which the U.S. government is refusing to admit its torture is being used all the time. And then the fact of the matter is, you know, even people like Senator McCain has said waterboarding is torture. Indeed, it's just like putting a gun to someone's head. pulling the trigger while you know that there is no bullet. And this is torture. And those who are saying that they're not sure it's torture, I think the best thing to do is to put them down on the floor and actually give them a waterboarding so they will understand the difference between torture and non-torture. The fact is that why is it that no one has been brought to justice? I mean, we've got currently 25,000 people being held by American forces in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Guantanamo, and you know, these techniques of torture is being used systematically, and we can't really stop it. And then because the international community, it really hasn't got the willing to stand up against United States. Only last week I was at the UN Council in Geneva, on the Council on Human Rights, and Professor Shenin was giving his report, which is a big chunk of it, was dealing with the situation in the United States. And the reality is we all know what is taking place. But the point is this, that can we actually hold them responsible and accountable or not? And, you know, United States itself has never held itself accountable, not in the present administration. And indeed, I remember at the time of Vietnam, places like My Lai, when people were massacred and one individual eventually admitted and was found guilty and was given life. Within months, he was put on house arrest, and within 1 year, he was pardoned by the president. The United States has got a very bad record of actually dealing with those who actually torture people and kill people on his name.
Back to U.S. Congress, and of course, all the controversy surrounding this case in U.S. Congress. But once again, Masoud Haider this time around, and if it's safe to say Masoud, after saying Haider, Masoud, let's have your take on U.S. Congress here. Again, we have New York Times, a paper, U.S. Daily, threatening to go public with it. And out there we have the CIA director saying, well, let me take care of that. Let me announce it first. And then where the hell is U.S. Congress on all of these matters? Now, they're again lagging far behind a single newspaper. How do you explain that? How do you account for that? What is it they have to say when they stand before the American people?
Basically, you know, you must, as you understand, it is the New York Times which broke the story, and which was, I mean, basically has a detailed story. And then it was followed up by other. Yes, you are right that U.S. Congress is lagging. But I believe also that this waterboarding is not the only torture that is being used. If you remember Abu Ghraib, there was more than waterboarding going on over there. There was torture of being of every form over there. And I mean, the Abu Ghraib prison was closed down. But if you remember, the photographs were harrowing. The description of torture was this one. Waterboarding is indeed abhorrible. Is another one which. Again, this story was broken by the New York Times. Now, the Justice Department has started something. The two members of Congress and the senators, as I said early, Patrick Leahy and Arlen Specter, are really enraged at this point in time over the refusal of the Justice Department, Michael Mukasey, saying that he cannot ask for investigations to proceed further because there are political implications. And I'm sure the political implications that he's not telling us about are that we cannot proceed with this investigation because it will probably reveal more than that is there, you know. If you remember in the Watergate investigation, then came the Deep Throat and they were following the money. This time, they're following the people who are being tortured. Like, for instance, there are so many families, I believe, where so many people disappearing. And in Pakistan, if you remember, the whole bunch of, about 500 people have disappeared. The Chief Justice was doing that. And it's all said they're all going to Guantanamo Bay. For some reason, the trail leads to Guantanamo Bay. So we don't know whether that is in fact true. But if the investigations proceed, I believe waterboarding will be just the tip of the iceberg. There will be a lot more that will be exposed. And probably that is what they are wary about. The Justice Department. and they do not want the investigations to proceed forward. And I believe that that will all can be corrected by the Congress if it wants to, like it has proved in the past. If it subpoenas enough people, then it will happen.
Los Angeles Times. Let's go to CIA tapes. The title of this article from the LA Times, Congressional Outrage Over Their Destruction Should Lead to New Anti-Torture Rules. Congress is appropriately indignant about the revelation that CIA destroyed videotapes of interrogation sessions at which suspected terrorists were subjected to enhanced techniques that may have included the simulated drowning known as waterboarding. That outrage needs to be channeled into legislation that would prevent the agency from engaging in the sort of behavior captured on those tapes. And it goes, last week, CIA Director Michael Hayden told agency employees that the tapes of interrogations conducted in 2002 were destroyed 3 years later, in part because they were, were they ever to leak, they would permit identification of your CIA colleagues who had served in the program, exposing them and their families to retaliation from Al-Qaeda and its sympathizers. Samir Dasani, freelance writer, director of 50 Years is Enough organization. Do you agree with Michael Hayden's assessment of the situation and his argument why such cover-up?
No, I mean, I think that's nonsense. I think the argument is also coming exactly at the moment when Congress and other folks were investigating questions of CIA torture, questions of abuse in Guantanamo Bay, in other places. So to say that the destruction of these tapes, which clearly, I mean, by his own admission, by what you just quoted, indicate CIA staff in, you know, what some folks would certainly call torture, destroying those tapes at a time when U.S. government and other people and, you know, various levels of the U.S. government were interested in finding out questions about how much the CIA was involved in torture, that's not a coincidence. And I think what your previous guest said is also very important. I mean, I think we have here an administration, a set of policies that has used torture, that has been using torture probably since 9/11, 2001 for its own purposes and been lying about it and been getting away with it because there's been no accountability, no transparency, and no adherence to the rule of law, international rule of law. So when we have these scandals slowly unfolding and we have people hiding this and hiding that, I think if we do see an independent investigation by the Justice Department or by anyone else, the problem with the Justice Department investigation, of course, is that it also involves the CIA. But if we have a truly independent investigation, I think it will unveil a lot more than what we already know.
That's pretty much the question right now. Who should investigate this? Because now we have CIA's own Inspector General on the one hand and the administration's Attorney General. We have new Casey replacing the Alderman member, somebody who was called and tagged the in-house lawyer of White House, Mr. Gonzalez, now gone, Mukasey in. At the time of his confirmation, Mukasey faced questions about torture and he had problems with the very word waterboarding, which he refused to acknowledge as torture first, and then he said, I need to read up on it. When he brushed up on that, he came back with a letter saying, well, it's probably torture. Now, let's go to Bush, a CNN article titled, Bush, No Recollection of Tapes. And it says, the U.S. President George W. Bush has no recollection of videotapes of CIA interrogations of some Al-Qaeda suspects or of plans to destroy the tapes. The White House spokeswoman said, Bush and Vice President Cheney learned about videotape interrogations of some Al-Qaeda suspects on Thursday when CIA Director Michael Hayden briefed them about the existence of the tapes and their subsequent destruction, administration officials said on Friday. Masoud Chaudhary, do you buy this?
No, I don't. And I don't, I mean, I really feel that we are just playing with words. The reality is that there is really no political will to address this issue in the United States at the moment. And the United States has done everything in its power to hide these information coming out as much as possible and then also protect and has given its operative they go ahead and they're protecting them. And the reality is that even when we look at Guantanamo, we have had allegedly four people who have died there as a result of suicide. Now, the fact of the matter is that three of them, there was an investigation that started over a year and a half ago. Still, we haven't got any information of what really took place. And these sort of investigation of sort of U.S. investigating itself, it is almost like asking the fox, asking the fox to look after the chickens. And really, it's not going to be fruitful. We really need to have a very independent body to investigate. Bodies like sections of United Nations and special rapporteurs are able to do that, but United States has been blocking them on every inch of the way. So I really don't see there is going to be much happening until the administration really changes. And, you know, we have to wait for just over a year to see, hopefully, some sort of change and some accountability.
And here's Agence France alluding to choking of what little is left of investigations in the U.S. with an article titled Congress, Bush, and Clash Over CIA Interrogation Tapes. The article goes, and I'd like to zoom in a bit here, Congress and President George W. Bush were headed for confrontation on Saturday as U.S. lawmakers accused the Justice Department of blocking their probe into whether the CIA tried to cover up torture by destroying interrogation tapes. Lawmakers from both parties expressed outrage after Bush's Attorney General Michael Mukasey asked a congressional panel to postpone its investigation of the destroyed videotapes on grounds it could jeopardize the Justice Department's own inquiry into the affair. Masoud Haidar, accountability, responsibility, transparency, investigation, all basic values of U.S. country of laws. Whatever is happening to all of these values here?
Well, if you recall, I believe very strongly for the Bush administration, any such words, accountability and responsibility and transparency, are basically an anathema. They just don't have never, ever abided by any norms of law and rule of law. And if you will recall recently the case of Valerie Palmer, in which she was exposed by, now it is revealed by the, what do you call it, the secretary to the vice president, and vice president eventually that he knew about it, and he told his secretary to pass on this information to Robert Novak and to the New York Times and to whoever, and then they said no. And when President Bush was asked,
we have to leave it there for now.
Hello?
Hello, we'll have you loud and clear. We have to leave it there for the headlines. We'll be back after just a few moments. Don't go away. We're back with Fine Print, this time around discussing destruction of torture tapes by the CIA. And for that, we're joined from London by Masoud Shajareh, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, from Washington by Masoud Haidar, UN Bureau Chief for Pakistan's oldest and most widely read English language newspaper, Dawn, from Washington by Samir Dasani, freelance writer and director of 50 Years Is Enough organization. But let's go to Masoud Haidar. Masoud, let's pick up where we just left off. We were talking about the U.S. administration and another scandal, this time around about torture.
Yeah, so as I was saying before we broke for this break, that this, if you remember the case of Scooter Libby, there was this case of cover-up that who leaked the information on CIA operative Valerie Palmer, which became one of the biggest scandal in Mr. Bush's two years ago, and then Mr. Bush had promised that he would take decisive action against whoever leaked the information. And when it finally was disclosed that it was Dick Cheney's chief of staff, probably with the information from Mr. Cheney himself, and Scooter Libby, when he admitted in the court of law, then Mr. Bush turned around and pardoned him. That is the justice that it went, because when the he was sentenced for 23 months in prison, he was just generally turned around and pardoned, and that was that. Now this again, this has now begun. This game is again beginning. The cover-up is beginning. There are absolutely, it's smacks of color cover-up at this point in time. And how far, and there is going to be this war between the Congress and the Justice Department, which we just saw in case of Michael Mukasey, when he refused to say whether waterboarding was in fact a form of torture. So now this confrontation between the Congress and the Justice Department will continue, and I'm sure the Democratic-led Congress at some point in time would show some guts, because now they are getting a bipartisan support from the Republicans too that this investigation should go through. And I am confident with bipartisan support it might go through, but at this point in time the Bush administration is playing the same game that it did in case of Valerie Palmer, the CIA operative who was exposed. And this is exactly what's happening. So eventually, the way somebody, at some place in time, there will be subpoenas issued. There will be some people who will call to question, and that is when we'll see the action. I think that action will come even before next year, as was suggested by one of my colleagues over here.
Masoud Shajar, as the director of the Islamic Human Rights Commission in London, I know you've been following from allegations to evidence of torture very closely over the years as they unfolded from Abu Ghraib to Guantanamo, so on and so forth. Is there anything new about this new scandal, this new revelation? And if so, what is that?
No, there isn't. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we have known that this is taking place. As a matter of fact, it goes far beyond this. I mean, what United States personnel have done themselves, what they have done by sort of extraordinary rendition, sending people to be tortured by the third parties, and indeed what is happening in Iraq and Afghanistan by mercenaries. They're all sort of come to the same conclusion that there is a huge amount of war crimes and torture is taking place. International law is being undermined on a daily and hourly basis, and nothing is being done whatsoever to stop it. And we are not seeing really any light at the end of the tunnel. What we are seeing is more legitimization, more protection, more hiding behind rhetorics. And as I said, you know, up to this date, through all that we have seen in Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo and elsewhere, not a single senior officer or individual have been brought to justice or even charged. So really, you know, unfortunately, this is the sad part of it is that, you know, United States not only is implementing these acts of barbaric torture, but is also encouraging others to do their bidding on their behalf. And we are extremely concerned, and we need to actually put an end to this, because it makes no sense. Torturing people in this way, it doesn't bring security. The fact of the matter is the reality that you could torture someone to the extent that they will say that the day is night and the night is day, and you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get really intelligence out of it. And the fact of the matter is it's still continuing. We need to somehow bring some sort of sanity to this. And I'm afraid I really don't see any hope as long as Bush administration is in power. And I'm afraid that even the Democrats at the moment are more concerned about making sure that they will not rock the boat in a way that it will affect their election in just over 1 year, rather than, you know, dealing with the principles of stopping this sort of barbaric action to take place.
For quite some time, Samir Dasani, the Bush administration, the fight was simply over words. Enemy combatants, Geneva Conventions. Geneva Conventions do apply or do not apply to these enemy combatants, ghost figures in Guantanamo and elsewhere around the world. So many technicalities as far as law is concerned. And finally, there were Supreme Court rulings on it that, yes, Geneva Conventions do apply to these cases. Yes, these guys do deserve to have some kind of a due process in the American courts. They need to have representations. Now, there were hundreds and hundreds of these people. And now we have Bush finally coming up, according to CNN, Bush, no recollection of tapes. This is the best response they have after all those initial redefinitions of torture. Now, what do you make of all of this, plus all the fight we have in U.S. Congress after some leak by some paper or some journalist out of Iraq or out of Guantanamo, papers hitting the net? Now we have Congress again agitating for or against the case, a few senators, a few representatives, this side of the aisle, a few on the others. What do you make of all of this in the U.S.?
It's kind of a perfect storm, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, we have a president who sort of looks like the village idiot, right? I mean, he looks so silly sometimes, and he says the most silly things, that when he says, oh, I didn't hear about this till last Thursday, as implausible, as unreasonable as that sounds, the average American is sort of willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because he seems so stupid. On the other hand, we have, really the opposite of stupidity. We have sort of genius manipulation of the legal system to get away from any kind of accountability, any kind of transparency, any kind of rule of law, and to make sure that whatever, it's not just President Bush. I mean, it's easy to vilify one person, but it's a particular set of U.S. military, industrial, economic interests. Whatever those set of very elite people want to do, that is being done, and things are being challenged in this court and that court, and when there's a ruling against them, they try and figure out a way to interpret the ruling. You know, Bush has been signing laws with signing statements. For example, the law that he signed outlawing torture, he wrote a signing statement basically saying that his own administration didn't have to follow that. He didn't believe that a president had to enforce laws against torture, against U.S. officials torturing. So what's the point of having a law if you have a signing statement that says the opposite of what the law is? And on the other hand, the other part of this perfect storm is you have a Congress which up until 2006 was largely impotent, was largely a Republican Congress, was largely unwilling to talk about any of these issues because there was a perception, in my opinion, a very wrong perception, that the U.S. public didn't care about these issues, that the U.S. public was just frightened, and whatever the administration or whoever wanted to do in the name of the war on terror, as they call it, I call it the war of terror, whatever they wanted to do in the name of the war on terror, they could do. And after 2006, you had a change. You had Democrats coming into the Congress, many of them on sort of anti-war platforms. But we've had, again and again in 2007, this year, we've had people in Congress just too afraid to speak out and just backing down again and again and again because, you know, Republicans played this trump card or that trump card, appeal to this fear factor or that fear factor. And we don't have politicians in the U.S., unlike in many other places in the world, we don't have politicians who have integrity. We have politicians who have backers, you know, either in this industry or that industry, with this lobby or with that lobby. When we don't have politics of principle, this is all kind of a charade. And I agree with both of your guests, really, that on the one hand, yes, there are promising signs, and this particular incident has really enraged Congress perhaps more than they've been enraged in the past. But on the other hand, it's very difficult in the few months that we have left before the end of the Bush administration. It's very difficult to imagine that there'd be any major changes.
Let's go to Reuters, an article titled Human Rights Envoy Suspects CIA of Guantanamo Torture, and then the rest of the story. But Masoud Haidar, the United Nations, a representative of over 190 nations, to be precise, 192 nations at this point. And all we have out of the UN is from time to time peeps, the UN Rapporteur on Torture, repeating and repeating the same old story that, well, this is tantamount to torture, and different phraseology, different words out there. But where is action? Now, I know the UN chief would simply have to do the five veto-willing powers there. And then just a few months ago, we had allegations coming out, first allegations, and then proven by the EU itself that tens of nations in the EU itself were complicit when it came to the so-called extraordinary rendition of what is called by rights groups as torture by proxy, sending detainees, these ghost figures around the world, different countries, for torture by CIA with the complicity of certain European countries, 14 of them, I believe, back then. Now, what's coming out of the UN and other rights groups? Are you optimistic, any optimistic about what these groups are doing?
No. Yeah, let me make it very clear about the UN role. UN is basically as strong as the member states want it to be. In this particular case, United States under no circumstances will allow United Nations because to go there and to investigate this. The United Nations rapporteurs have asked for access to Guantanamo Bay. They've been denied. Once they were told that they will be allowed access with some supervision, but then Mr. Novak, I remember, who was the rapporteur, special rapporteur on torture, wanted there, he was not given access, that was last year. And then when the United Nations Human Rights Commissioner, Louise Arbour, I remember, when she weighed in on this and said that indeed what's happening in Guantanamo and so forth, the torture and so forth, and I believe at one point in time, when she weighed in on this, Mr. John Bolton, at that point in time, the ambassador of the United States, who asked the Secretary General of the United Nations to immediately dismiss her. She had no right to weigh in or pass this judgment. Well, at that point in time, Mr. Annan was on loggerheads with the U.S. administration because of oil for food investigations. So he said no, and he stood by her. But now this Secretary General, for some reason, has become very compliant. So he will not, definitely not, ask or seek for any access to Guantanamo Bay. All his special rapporteurs will be asked that they should seek some sort of a forum in order to get to find Guantanamo Bay to conduct independent investigations. There have been some investigations. There have been some sort of allegations lying around where some of the people who have visited Guantanamo Bay have said about conditions. They have not really witnessed anything, but they saw the conditions, talked to the prisoners, and they found that there was something going on which they can't put a finger on. So basically, United Nations finds itself to be totally impotent to do anything because the United States is the most powerful member of the United Nations. It will not allow anybody to go there, and it will, as a matter of fact, undermine the United Nations, if at all it will seek to go into to investigate anything. They have always, United States in particular, has always said that we will not allow United Nations to come into play over here. I mean, not only that, if you remember, United States has not signed the international, conventions on the criminal court, international criminal court. It is still not a party to that convention or to those Rome statutes. So there's a long history of this confrontation between the United States and the United Nations. I don't think the United Nations is, at this point, in ability to weigh in until there is... what has the United Nations got to do with it? United Nations is just a moral voice of the world. It has no authority. United States is the only one which can enforce it.
All right,
and that is where it stands.
Let's go back to the very same article from Reuters. UN Rights Envoy suspects CIA of Guantanamo torture. The article reads, a United Nations investigator said on Thursday he strongly suspected the CIA of using torture on terrorism suspects at Guantanamo Bay, suggesting many were not being prosecuted to keep the abuse from emerging at trial. Masoud Chajar, this is a very fine point here. Many of these held incommunicado, and they're not put on trial simply because if and when they're put on trial, the abuse simply props up. It hits the fan. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, there is no doubt that this is not just one or two individuals who have stepped over the line. This is actually systematically institutionalized torture. And, you know, you just have to listen to Rumsfeld and Cheney and indeed Bush himself. You see that legitimization goes all the way up to Mr. Bush. So, you know, if you allow one individual to be sort of questioned and indeed held accountable, then the chain will just follow. And you know, what you were saying regarding United Nations, unfortunately, when you look at the United Nations, you know, overwhelming majority of these states themselves are involved in some sort of unsavory business anyway. I mean, you know, as you said already, the European Union were involved in extraordinary rendition. And indeed, you know, when you look at countries like Israel, they actually invented most of these torture equipment and torture techniques. And indeed, it's been implemented very widely. And to some extent, you know, when you actually sit in the United Nations Assembly, be it in Geneva, Human Rights Council, or in New York, you'll see that, you know, there is almost a lip service when it comes to issue of torture, when it comes to issue of, you know, war on terror. The fact is this, everybody is been using it to some extent, more or less, to justify sort of the, you know, this politics of fear, which is actually serving almost everybody well, with the exception of few.
Well, Samir Dasani, an interesting issue here is now we have the U.S. presidential elections, the campaign for that roadmap to White House, and candidates on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, on campaign trail. Now, what's interesting is torture itself is a non-issue right now when it comes to presidential elections. Now, we had Iraq. Iraq did happen to be an issue with the American public as long as American soldiers were dying in Iraq, as long as we had flag-draped coffins shipped home in hundreds. Right now, that's subsiding a bit. Now, we see that, well, it's emboldening Republicans especially. They're saying, well, Iraq, we're winning. We're headed for victory. This and that is happening. But simply torture is a non-issue with the American people, which basically grants credence to the fact, and something held up by many critics that take a look at the American people. They don't argue with success. As long as Iraq war is producing no coffins, they're just okay with that. As far as they can't touch it anywhere close to themselves, they're not on the streets. There is no criticism. That is a non-issue.
No, I disagree with that. I mean, I think if you look at the polls, if you look at people who are questioned about this and so on, Americans are overwhelmingly against Americans using torture in almost any circumstance, or in any circumstance. But that said, all of the Democratic candidates have come out and said that we don't agree with using torture in under any circumstances, and some of the Republicans have done the same. The others have not really. I hope that it becomes more of an issue in the Republican sort of discussion as we move towards the upcoming primaries. But as far as the Democrats, I think partly because the U.S. Elections that are coming up have been so obsessed, at least the coverage has been obsessed with the Democratic side of things, because the Republican candidates haven't really been that interesting. And there's sort of at this point, there's a consensus that the Democrats are the favorites at this point, I would say, especially coming out of the 2006 midterm elections. So I disagree. I think torture is an issue. I think the U.S. public, you know, to the extent that they know about the blood that's on their hands, not just in Iraq, but also in Afghanistan, in so many U.S. interventions since the Second World War, we talk about East Timor, we talk about Colombia, human rights violations going on right now. To the extent that the U.S. public knows about these, the blood on U.S. hands, they are outraged. And when things like this scandal come up, it's very disturbing for the folks in the White House and in Congress and elsewhere in power, because it draws attention again to the fact that the U.S. has been the lead sort of rogue state, the lead human rights violator, certainly since the second half of the 20th century.
Masoud Haidar, do you agree? And, you know, a phrase going around in the States simply, what I know is what I read in the paper. What is a paper feeding the people? B, do you see the kind of sensitivity in the Americans vis-a-vis torture issues?
You see, this is where I disagree with Ms. Amir. While it is true, the Americans were extremely outraged at what happened at Abu Ghraib, and they don't know enough about Guantanamo Bay because they've not been told enough. This is the first time the New York Times really came up with a big story on torture. The thing is, I believe that the newspapers nor the television and the electronic media is not doing enough about this, and they have not sensitized the people about this torture. I also believe in the inherent goodness. American people are good people. They will react. But the Bush administration has been so successful in covering up. It is unbelievable. They've covered up so much, one after another. If you see from the body bags coming, hiding the body bags coming, then hiding the figures which are of the people who have been killed. I mean, besides the Americans, there have been about at least 800,000 Iraqis killed. Nobody wants to talk about that. So the Bush administration is very cleverly covered up everything, and as a consequence, the media and the television has been unsuccessfully in highlighting and sensitizing the people. If the American people were to made aware of all these horrible things, like in case of Abu Ghraib prison, there would have been an outrage, and there will be an outrage. Yes, this is one single case. It is not, bringing out the anger in the American people, but I believe that if the television, electronic media, and the print media do their job, it's just to sensitize people, not necessarily, rip up a frenzy, but just to tell the people this is what's happening, and this is our government, which is supposed to be the foremost upholder of rule of law. Telling the whole world that democracy and rule of law is primary.
Right.
It wouldn't have happened.
So, Masutadar, you lay the basic blame on the part of the media and the misinformation. Now, Masutadar, very brief, let's take a look at the future of all of this, because you have a personal touch with all of this torture and what's on the ground. Practically speaking, how do you see the future of this in coming years, especially with allusions in this program earlier to complicity coming from countries in Europe and countries around the world, BRICS around the world, the secret prisons? Where do you see the future of this?
Well, I really believe that we need to actually change attitudes. We need to change the attitudes and indeed educate everyone. The reality is that these torture are extremely counterproductive, not just because it will give you a sort of useless so-called intelligence, but what it does in the same time, it actually creates momentum for others to be recruited into terrorist organization and opposition. I mean, the reality is that all Guantanamo has done has created sort of people being slaughtered in Iraq wearing the same suit, and indeed tit for tat situation legitimized even further violence and so forth. I really think we need to actually say that, you know, this sort of tactics. It's counterproductive, and we need to put an end to
it. So on that counterproductive note, we have to say goodbye, call it a day. Our thanks to all of our guests. We're joined from London by Masoud Chadere, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, from Washington by Masoud Haidar, UN Bureau Chief for Pakistan's oldest, most widely read English language newspaper, The Dawn, from Washington by Samir Dasani, freelance writer and director of 50 Years is Enough organization. Of course, our thanks to our viewers for joining us. Always watch out for the fine print with me, Amir Arfa.